Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
The Six Rings Postgame Show, live on WEEI, rolls on with your old pals Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Jumbo Hart. And you at 617-779-7937. The good people of Patriots Nation, New England, and WEEI want to be heard from, Andy, and we're here for them. So let's go to Chuck in New Hampshire. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm going to need a cigarette after that one. That was fun game to watch.
I need a defibrillator, Chuck. Jeez.
But, three takeaways for me on the game was, one, the game that Drake May had. Imagine if he had a much more competent offensive line. All his runs, I think, were improvised scrambles. Imagine if he had a decent offensive line. Maybe they could do some planned runs. Or the plays where he creates time by running around, maybe he could just have time from the protection. That'd be awesome. Second is the defensive line. I thought they were atrocious, especially the interior. You're taking those body blows throughout the whole game, and then you saw it in overtime where it just ultimately collapsed. And then third, I know Mayo gets a lot of flack for it, but, you know, I think he's keeping the team fighting. I know they're, you know, whatever it is now, 2-7 or 2-6, but they seem to be fighting week in and week out at least. So, you know, some positives there.
All right, appreciate the call very much, Chuck. To his point, yes, the team hasn't given up. They were a little softer today at times than they were last week as well, although the Jets got some yards. It's just that the Jets were a far more self-destructive team last week than the Titans. So the Titans thought about giving it away today a few times, but in the end, just a few too many mistakes made by the Patriots.
I mean, they're a bad team. You're a bad team. It was a bad game. It was poorly officiated. We haven't left this stretch of games. It's all bad football.
Oh, no. I was going to open up by saying that we just watched 3 hours of bad football between two bad football teams, which made for one bad football game, until Drake May saved our proverbial postgame show, our bacon, and all of our narratives.
And the future of the franchise while doing so. But yes, it was bad football, and, you know, we have those 12 seconds. What was it was One Night in Paris, 12 seconds with Drake. That's his sex tape.
It was the best.
Actually, it's better on the football field than sex tape.
Oh, for God's
the sex tape
sakes.
Won't sell as much. 12 seconds with Drake.
Andy, I know it's dark out, but it's still 5:15.
Really? We don't have safe harbor yet. My God.
Just saying.
Tony
Pollard ran all over them. Tony Pollard was phenomenal. He was doing the damn Le'Veon Bell delayed runs where it was like pitter patter, squirt.
I wonder if Dallas was watching today going like, oh, how come we can't get running backs like that?
Well, because you pay your quarterback $60 million a year and your wide receiver $35 million a year, and there's only so much money to go around. And I'll be honest, I'm not the biggest Tony Pollard guy. Tony Pollard was phenomenal today.
He was
tremendous.
He's really good.
The Patriots' run defense, I mean, you got Jacqueline Roy, you got Daniel Aquale. Like, you're undermanned. You didn't have Kyle Duggar. Marty Mapu, as our boy Ross Tucker would call him. I'm not sure how good he is at this point in his development. Jelani Tavai missed some tackles. I think we continue to see the absence of Bentley hindering Tavai. When Tavai is with Bentley, he's a different kind of player.
Who do they miss the most between the three, Andy? Who do they miss, Barmore, Bentley, or Peppers the most? And I don't know if they're going to get any of them back this year.
I think Bentley. I really do. I really think it's Bentley. Because he's a guy that really evolved into, while athletically limited, I think, in his role, sort of from tackle to tackle, playing the run, he was a good player. And I think they have been soft, gashed, whatever you want to call it, up the gut too often in that area. So, I think he's been greatly missed. But I think all of them are absences that adversely affect the run defense. And they ran, 39 for a 167 for the Titans on the ground. That's a lot. When you give up 30 to 40 carries, and I know it's overtime, so that's in there. And the overtime drive, it just right down your throat.
Yeah.
And I know that Tavai was definitely held definitely a hold.
Oh, now, God, what a on a day where the referees couldn't help but insert themselves and be a part
of. Put them away in overtime. We're not going to flag you.
Yeah, Tavai runs a run blitz on that third and five play, right up the gut. And the center, who they were having issues with all day long for Tennessee, just turns right around, reaches back, grabs Tavai's left shoulder pad and jersey and pulls on it long enough to stop him from making the tackle in the backfield on Pollard, which,
he may or may not have made, by the way.
He may or may not have made, and ultimately they got the field goal anyway. I get it, but like still, that was just, it was garbage. I do want to share one thing, a tweet that I had read prior to our first phone call at the top of the hour from Chuck there, and this plays right into one of the things he said. Chuck in New Hampshire had just said, you know, May seems like a lot of his best plays in those great runs come out of the improvisation that's necessary when the play breaks down. Imagine what this kid will be like when he gets some talent around him. And I know you and I wanted to be a tad more critical of the play calling. I plan on being as well throughout the remainder of the show. How about this tweet right here, Andy? The Patriots' best plays today are when the called play breaks down and May scrambles and uses his legs to run for a first down. Doesn't speak highly of Alex Van Pelt and doesn't seem sustainable for the health of the QB. That tweet from the previous host of the postgame show here on WEEI, our friend and yours, a radio legend, the godfather of sports talk radio, Glenn D. Ordway. Do not disagree with that in the least. That is a fitting assessment.
Well, I mean, the one thing I disagree with, I don't know if he's going to get hurt. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson do this for year after year, game after game, and this is why they're MVP candidates, and that's the hierarchy you're hoping Drake May is getting into. That's the reality, and situationally, with the way this team is limited in so many areas, you're going to have to do that. And, you know, I think he talked about a little bit post-game, he wasn't going to be swayed, even took a little, I don't want to say shot, but kind of said basically he wasn't concussed.
The X, the Z, vertical route.
That he may have stumbled because of his cleats while doing the balance test, and that he kind of said, I didn't even have a head injury. He never had one at all, which I thought was interesting. I'll be following up with him on that.
That's what I told you Friday. I said, I know he was in the protocol, but did we ever get it confirmed for us that he had a head injury?
Yes, he had a concussion. He was listed on the injury report with a concussion. So that's the reality. Mm-hmm. The NFL deemed he had a balance issue, which was from a concussion. But he believes he has a balance issue because his cleat got caught in the turf where he was doing the balance test. Mm-hmm. And so he will be, I think, getting into that a little more if he chooses to do so on the afternoon program tomorrow. But the reality is, when you draft these mobile quarterbacks, they're going to have to make plays with their legs. It's part of their game. Doesn't mean he's going to get hurt. He's going to take some hits. I think you saw he already did what I told you last week he should do, and that is go head first. Don't slide. When you slide, you put your head at risk. When you slide, you lose the ability to be an athlete. When you slide, you are a sitting duck. When you go head first, you're able to do it. Now, he also took a pop, which I thought was a borderline cheap shot from Kenneth Murray. I thought he tried to rip his helmet off and his head off on one of those. But I liked the way Drake May ran today. I thought he was aggressive. I thought he was relatively smart. There's no guarantees. I mean, he can get hit anytime. He can whatever. Even the fumble, it's going to look like he was loose with the ball. I don't think he was. He had two hands on the ball, and then he started to take a hand off to throw it to Jermichael Hasty, and that's exactly when he got hit from the backside for the fumble. He was trying to make a play with his arms there, not his legs. And I think if he had kept it tucked, he wouldn't have fumbled, but he was trying to dish it off. So, this is going to be an evolution, but if you're afraid to watch quarterbacks who run, then you shouldn't have drafted Drake May. I told you that from the beginning. When people told me I was stupid in November and December when I compared him to Josh Allen, and then everybody jumped on the bandwagon and was like, hey, this guy's kind of like Josh Allen. That's what you drafted. If you didn't want to draft that, you shouldn't have drafted him, because that's how he plays.
And it's funny that we're talking about being aggressive and or at least helmet-to-helmet hits. Lions defensive back Brian Branch was just rung up and thrown out of the game moments ago for what was an absolutely brutal and senseless helmet-to-helmet hit on a defenseless receiver, Bo Melton of the Green Bay Packers. I mean, I hope more. You know what, Andy? I'll just say this. I hope, just to that general point as well, and I am in full support of the way that Drake May plays, and, you know, that's what he does. That's what they drafted him for. And there's really almost no way to play risk-averse, although at least I felt like that was the way that Alex Van Pelt was calling the game earlier. I had compared it on the pregame show to basically setting up an invisible dog fence along the Patriots offensive line, like, okay, go up to here, boy, but then don't go past there. No design runs for you today. We're going to be extra cautious. Like, you let him cook, you let him play his style of ball, or he shouldn't, then you shouldn't have drafted him, or you shouldn't have that guy. However, in general, helmet-to-helmet hits infuriate me, and I think it's a cheap way to play, and I'm glad that guy got tossed out of it.
Well, most of them are not intentional. Most of them are very difficult to avoid.
No, this one
every once in a while, there's one that's intentional, and maybe the branch one was. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the reality is, when you play defensive football, you're screwed, because if you want to hit with your shoulder, which they tell you to hit with, your head's attached, so your head's going too. And people continue. People in suits try to continue to make rules that people in helmets and uniforms can't abide by because it's physically impossible.
All right, we got people in South Dakota, Australia, Boston, New Hampshire, Dorchester, all over New England, all over the world, on hold, lined up to talk about Drake May and today's difficult yet somehow encouraging loss for the Patriots in Nashville against the Titans. That number is 617-779-7937. And now this is the latest and greatest in trending sports news with producer Joe Braverman.
Is running around and kind of tiredness, it looked like, after factor into not going for two there?
I'm not going to get in. I don't want to get into that. It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Okay, cool, Coach. When do you want to get into it? It's later. Okay, when it's convenient for him. Maybe he'll get into it tomorrow on
when
a
Coach
Patriots
Stacey
Monday.
Tells him what to say.
Honest to God. He even says, Mayo even goes so far as to say, that's a good question. I just don't want to get into it. All right, well, we'd like to hear.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Yeah, save that drop that we can so we can keep using that every time Andy or I, you know, God forbid, ask a good question or the callers ask one too. That's going to live for a while now. That's going to make, you know,
hey,
what?
Fitzy, who do you hate most at the radio station?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
We could have fun,
Fitzy,
with that.
Do you think if there was an eighth day in the week that they would schedule you to be on a different show?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Does Ken Laird annoy you with his last minute texts?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
We should probably stop. That's Ken Laird texting me now. Are those dots I see?
Hey, boss, how do you feel about, given that it's getting darker by the minute, openly consuming adult beverages on the
air?
It's
a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Yeah, that might be an all-timer. We might be able to use that for a lot of things.
I think that's...
Remember how last year we used the Ryland Doink for a lot?
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be for this year.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, do you think that your soundbite from today's postgame presser is the new Ryland Doink of EDI?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Okay. Hey, Coach, do you think your job status should be evaluated at the end of the season?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Coach, is a hot dog a sandwich?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
You'll have this content and more for the final 2 hours of the Six Rings Postgame Show.
Oh, my damn right. Gosh. Oh, I'm loopy at this point. Positive. That's, to me, that is up there already with Young Thundercat, burn some cash, you know, plan and the competition, all of it. That's a top five Mayo moment right there.
Now, I appreciate the honesty. I mean,
yep.
Like, I just don't want to talk about it. I use that on my wife all the time. I don't want to talk about her.
Hey, Coach Mayo.
That's a great place to use it. Honey, give me a second. I got to pull up a sound bite from Gerard Mayo before I answer your question.
Did you forget to empty the dishwasher again?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Thank you, Gerard. I'm going to be using that.
Hey, Coach, do you think we should take our next call?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
All right. Well, you don't have to get into it, but I'll take Jake from Boston. Hello, Jake.
What's up, boys?
How are you, guy?
First of all, listen, great loss today. You saw hope. I thought Drake was actually efficient, as in fairly smart and not wildly dumb, last play notwithstanding. And if you look at the stats, he's got 6 TDs and 4 interceptions. And I think by comparison, Pat Mahomes is 8-9. And we don't ever have those questions about Mahomes. You are where you want to be, which is in a position to draft the top offensive lineman in the draft. So good loss today. 3 things, though. Number one, you did need to go for 2. There is no excuse not to. You are the weaker team on the road, and you have nothing to lose. Number 2, Alex Van Pelt deserves a lot more credit than he's gotten for his work so far with May. And, in fact, he's probably the only coach on the coaching staff who's not complete and utter garbage right now. And then number 3, ownership is still garbage because not spending on an offensive line and already putting this kid's life in danger is criminal. Now, thankfully, in another
Who did you want, Jake?
Bezos just,
Jake, who did you want?
In terms of what? Offensive line?
Yeah, who did you want to spend money on?
Anyone. Any human being that is not a complete turnstile at this point with Robert's money. And just choosing not to, knowing you're drafting a first-round quarterback, was completely malicious. Now, if you were to look at another sport and another potential owner in this town, Jeff Bezos just sold $3 billion worth of Amazon stock, which will put him in a position liquid enough to buy the Celtics. Now, will Bezos coming to town actually get Robert off his butt and able to spend money where he will obviously be jealous of the new golden king of the city? I hope so. But that's coming, by the way. Read the tea leaves on that. I hope Robert is jealous of Jeff Bezos, and I hope he's going to I hope he wants to spend the money so he can at least stay in the same room as Bezos, even though he doesn't belong in it.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Jake. And Jake, you forgot to conveniently mention that Jeff Bezos is a little bit of a coward these days because he pulled the editorial from the Washington Post after all their editors and writers had decided who they wanted to endorse for president. So while I enjoy
the same
my
as they've
Amazon,
always endorsed.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
I mean, they would have endorsed a Democrat like they have every single time they've endorsed somebody. I think that is the most overblown scandal or big deal. They always endorse a Democrat, so really they don't endorse anybody.
But at the same time, if you have an editor, not that I want to go down the political road right now, because I heard something's happening on Tuesday, but it certainly isn't fodder for the sports cannon. But if you have an editorial board and you have writers and you have made a tradition of endorsing someone for president one way or the other, and then your owner who says, you know, truth or honesty or, oh, democracy dies in darkness. If you put darkness over it, once again, out of fear for retribution, should somebody win the presidency? All I'm just saying is,
I think they should put death to the paper.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Trust me, they're feeling it now because
what's the point of having a newspaper that endorses one party for 40 years? They don't have a brain because
how their editorial board goes. No,
it's a different board. So clearly, it's not the board. It's not people making the decisions. There is a way of doing business.
Back we go. Moving on. We've got it's our first call in the postgame show from South Dakota. Wyatt is on the line. What's up, Wyatt?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
How are you, my
Super.
Guy?
Super.
Good. So to answer the last caller's question, yes. Jonah Williams, we should have signed him. If we would have had him as a temporary left tackle, he could have then we draft a tackle next year. We could have had a good solid left tackle. But what I wanted to get into is, like, I feel like Andy is kind of would have loved this game for Drake May. He obviously had some interceptions, played terrible, but he showed some clutch gene in the fourth quarter on that game tying drive. And then he also lost, so he still are there and for that draft pick.
Damn and right. Then, perfect day.
So the last question I got is, I know it was the game off of his concussion, but when we can't run the ball for 4 or 5 weeks it's been now, well, since that Seattle game, we saw it work in the preseason. How come we're not doing some of that read option stuff with Drake May? That's just some
they're
of the
trying,
thoughts I got. I know.
They're trying to protect him. Alex Van Pelt answered that this week. He said, with the amount that Drake May chooses/has to run on improvisational plays, they feel like if they then mix in designed run, like today, he ran 8 times improvisationally. You throw in 4 or 5 designed runs, I don't know that you want Drake May running 13 to 15 times in a game. So I think where this is going to go, it sounds like, is in the future when they have an offensive line that can protect him and maybe he doesn't feel the need to scramble as much, is when you will see the evolution of a few more zone reads and things of that nature where they might be sort of designed runs. But for now, and this is smart of them, they know the pass rush is so bad, he's going to have to run in those situations. We're not going to design runs and sort of double up on the putting him in harm's way.
All of this then boils down to
the line
if
stinks.
But it just doesn't make any, like, I just can't help but be kind of confounded by all of this. Like, hey, we're going to get this quarterback who's super mobile. Yep. Got a super strong arm. Yep. Generational prospect in our estimation. Yep. You guys going to give him an offensive line so you can take advantage of his ability to run and do all the different things he can, like zone reads, RPOs, naked boots, play act? Nope.
Well, they couldn't. That was my pushback on Jake. The Jonah Williams one is legit. I think you could have signed him. He is an adult. He is a professional.
That's how low the baseline is now. Who do you got at left tackle? Well, he's an adult.
Right. But they didn't think he was a quality. They blew that because they thought he was not a left tackle, but Chukwuma Okorafor might be or Caden Wallace might be. So they blew that. But this idea, because people love to throw, you should have spent a lot of money on the line.
Chukes.
They signed Mike Onwenu, who they continue to say they believed was the best offensive lineman available. They couldn't sign Trent Williams because nobody wanted Trent Williams back. He was in the mix as the next available. There were very few high-end offensive linemen available. That was the simple reality. And I'm not saying they did a good job. They did a bad job. The Chukwuma Okorafor, they clearly targeted him and thought he was something he wasn't, and he got the hell out of Dodge as soon as he could. Plus, he stunk. That also overshadows it. I feel like they almost get a pass because he chose to leave. He stunk before he chose to leave.
Has he shown up anywhere else, or did he go on the walkabout and has, like, yet to return? Like, is he officially, has he filed papers? Is he retired?
I don't know if he's officially filed papers, but I think that's the road he's going down.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it.
So now they're going to target, and we had a caller earlier, I don't know if it was Wyatt or Jake or whoever, said, we're in the perfect spot now to draft the best offensive lineman in the draft. Oh no, contraire, mon frère. We're in the perfect spot to trade down to draft the best offensive lineman in the draft.
Correct.
Somebody trades up for a quarterback. Somebody trades up for Travis Hunter. You get at least one extra first-round pick. The dream scenario is two extra first-round picks, and you pick somewhere in the 3 to 6 range, and you take Will Campbell, and then you have those extra picks, and the rebuild is on the fast track.
Yeah, I can't find anything, by the way, on the Google machine for Chukwuma Chukwuma Okorafor as well, and I don't think that name will be mentioned or merits mention any further on this radio program. Big Al, Jake, Coach, Ron, Dan, all you guys hang on. We'll get to you guys on the other side in moments here. 617-779-7937. All calls warranted. All calls matter. All calls are integral to the Six Rings postgame show. But when we come back, it is time for the Drake May report card with Chris Scheim from the morning show here at WEEI, the biggest Drake May fan we know. We're going to have to wonder if he's been able to have a cold shower, dress himself again, and get prepared for his spot, because I can only imagine how excited he was when May made the play of the day. It's Fitzy, it's Hart, it's Braverman, it's going to be Scheim, and it's you here on the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Touchdown at the end of regulation. Is there any part of you, do you talk to coach or do you make a case, say, let's just go for two?
Yeah. Sure, I was just trying to catch my breath. You know, I couldn't even think about it. But I think just looking back on it, it's easy to say. You know, we were out there that long on such a, you know, high-intensity drive. I think it's hard to go for two. I think it's easy to look back and say that now. But, you know, our defense is fresh and, you know, coming out in overtime and trying to get a stop. And they did a good job of running the football today.
Drake May in the postgame explaining his state of mind after running for, I think I saw in Next Gen Stats, 407 yards on the final play of regulation. Henry McKenna from Fox Sports posted a great Next Gen Stats graphic of the actual routes run by all the receivers as Drake May was fighting for his life. On the last play of the game, a successful touchdown. Dare I say, the play of the day in that game, the play of the day in the NFL, and certainly one of the plays of the year as orchestrated by the rookie quarterback for the New England Patriots, who continues to impress, whether under duress or in a clean pocket. And joining us right now from the Greg Hill Morning Show and everywhere else, just like most of us here at WEEI, with his installment this week of the Drake May report card, it's primetime himself, Chris Scheim. Scheim, what a roller coaster of emotions today must have been for you, the biggest Drake May fan in all the land.
Oh, Fitzy, I was shaking my head. I was jumping up and down and screaming. I was shaking my head a little bit more. It was quite the day today.
So you must have been frustrated like me when you saw the ending, because it was certainly set up for an even more storybook ending. And I look at it, and I know he takes full responsibility for basically everything that went wrong today, which is why I love him. I think he is the leader that we all wanted. But on that last throw, it was not a good throw. But also, Booty made zero attempt to do anything other than jog off the field a loser. And I don't know if that bothered you as much as it bothered me, Shine.
So it wasn't a great look for Booty, but also, like, it was a bad throw, but I don't think it was quite as bad a throw as people may think it was. Like, if you go back and watch the play, Kendrick Bourne was in the right slot. He looked like he was supposed to be running a corner route, fell down on the route. He would have held that safety, Malik Hooker, lower down the field. Instead, because he fell, Malik Hooker was able to kind of work his way back up and into the center of the field. And unfortunately, May just didn't see him, right? He was trying to flatten out the route for Booty to get away from the corner on that post route and kind of take it to the house. But unfortunately, just didn't see Malik Hooker working back because it's not exactly how it was supposed to be, you know, drawn up. You know, so it was a bad throw. It was a bad decision, a risk I don't think he necessarily needed to take. But I also don't think it was some horrendous, dumb decision that Drake May made the throw, because from his vantage point and how the play is supposed to be drawn up, like, I think that's the right call. Like, Booty beat the corner on the left there. He had him, but unfortunately, things did not go as planned.
Yeah, I just don't think he was able to step into the throw, or as May said in the postgame presser as well, there was some wind on the throw, and he kind of threw into the teeth. Who knows, whatever it was. I understand wanting to take a shot, you know, but at that point, to me, and, you know, Shime, I'm curious just how you feel about this as well, because we've all watched way too much football in our lives. What did you think they were going to go for? Do you think they should have gone for it? Do you think they should have let May, whether he was winded or not, at the end of the game? Did you want to just, like, seize the momentum there and try to put an end to it? Or were you happy that they were going to overtime in hopes that your guy could get a little rest and then orchestrate a signature drive?
Yeah, like, me as a head coach would have had a play ready to go before that crazy Drake May play, knowing if we're score, we're going for two. But I just don't think that's the way Jerod Mayo is wired. He seems very against the analytics or against being, ballsy at all. He just is very safe, and that's just kind of the way he operates. So I didn't expect them to go for two. Would I have liked to see it? Yeah, I would have liked you to be like, look, we're 2-6 here. We want to just go out and take this win on the road. Crazy final drive here. Let's just go win it. And instead, kind of, it felt like took the coward's way out. And when it's overtime, and they just ran it down your throats there in overtime and forced you to try and cobble together another 2.5-minute drive. And so I would have liked for them to go for two, but unfortunately, I just don't think that's in Mayo's blood.
Shime, anything you didn't like from Drake May today? I know a lot of people were looking to see how he ran. Did he slide? Was he afraid? Anything like that? Anything you didn't like from him?
Yeah, it wasn't the running that was the issue for me. I mean, the kid was just out there. Like, I think sometimes he thinks he's Derrick Henry. He just has this Superman complex. I think you saw it too on that last throw. Right after that long drive there to tie the game in regulation, I think in his head he just gets almost too amped up a little bit. He just thinks it's very Josh Allen-y, where it's like, I have everything on my shoulders right now, the entire weight of the franchise, and I can carry it. It's no big deal. I'll just go out and do it. And then tends to make a mistake here and there. And I think you saw that a couple times in this game. I didn't think the strip sack was as much his fault as Twitter would make you believe it is. I mean, Vidarian Lowe got pantsed on that play. Fair point. I thought there were some decisions that I didn't love. So, like, there was that throw down the sideline where, like, it could have been a back shoulder throw, but he threw it to the inside and that was almost picked. So I think there were some questionable decisions on throws there from Drake. But again, I think it was in result of him just trying to be Superman.
Chris Shime from The Morning Show and all over the dial here at EEI joins us with the latest installment of the Drake May report card. All right, so in factoring your grade for today, Shime, what do you think did Drake May the dirtiest? Was it his own rookie misgivings? Was it the truly, at times, offensive line? Was it the refs with their 18 accepted penalties and I think roughly 45 thrown during the game? Or was it Alex Van Pelt's play calling, which one and many have described as unimaginative, and that's the nicer way to put it?
Yeah, I'm going to put number one, the offense just getting way too many penalties on them. Like, to me, that was first and foremost the most disappointing part of this game. And were the refs a little flag happy? Sure. But, like, it felt every time you made a big play, holding on Ben Brown, holding on Ben Brown, holding on Vidarian Lowe, holding on whoever. Like, it just felt like it kept
happening. Jeffrey Simmons was killing you on the inside, and you couldn't stop it. I mean, there was that one play in particular. Drake escapes some pressure, pushes up in the pocket, dumps it off. You get like a 15-yard gain. Nope, coming back. 10-yard holding penalty. And it's just those are just drive killers, man. It puts you in such a bad spot. So for me, it was the amount of flags that the offense took today was just unacceptable.
Yeah, I thought today was an example that showed just how good Drake May can be and how much talent he has and upside he has and just how bad everything else is. The offensive line, the receivers. I mean, you're throwing slants to DeMario Douglas and it's going through his hands like, you know, he's got butter on him. You're right. It wasn't perfect. The throw that you referenced earlier down the sideline, I actually think Mark Schlereth nailed that. I thought he got caught in between. He wasn't sure whether he was throwing it for a fade or he was throwing a back shoulder fade, and he kind of just did neither and almost threw it to the other team because he got caught in between.
Yep.
But that's the beauty of today is Drake May is a dude. He's a guy that put out your recruiting videos. Add this to the recruiting videos. If you're a receiver, if you're a lineman, do you want to go to New England for the money? Hell yeah, you do, because you got this guy leading the show to greatness down the road, and it's going to be fun to watch. But the flip side of that is, thank God we have the number one pick again and can make some trades and get extra number one first round picks and get an offensive lineman and maybe a receiver, because that was my takeaway. The rest of this team just stinks.
This team is awful. From the Shime stats and info department for you here, only two quarterbacks in the NFL this season have thrown for 200 yards and had at least 90 yards rushing in a single game. That would be Lamar Jackson, I mean, of course, and Drake May. Like, those are the only two guys. And the difference, though, is that Lamar Jackson is able to throw the ball to guys like Zay Flowers and hand the ball to guys like Derrick Henry. Drake May is literally doing it all by himself. And so I have been fighting with Wiggy a lot about this. I hate the whole tank for a top five pick thing. But I also get it. Like, this team needs so many pieces. And it's not that you want to draft in the top five. You want to accrue draft picks, and that's great. I hate that mentality, and it's tough. It's tough to use that as an example when so many teams have tried to do that and failed. I'd rather you just try and draft a good player wherever you fall in the draft, and sign talented veteran guys that you know what they're capable of. Don't go fishing in the bargain bin for guys like Chucks Okorafor and Nick Leverett, who won't be on the team in 3 months. Go get legitimate starting caliber players in free agency and spend the cash.
Shime, before we get your final grade on Drake May's performance today, noble and valiant that it was, but unfortunately inglorious in that it ended in defeat and on an interception, no less. We're going to do a little game coming up here on the post-game show where we are allowed to pick up to, I was going to say just pick five, but Andy says it needs to be up to five because he's not sure how many guys he wants to hold on to, period. Aside from Christian Gonzalez and Drake May, is there anyone else on this team that you insist that the Patriots hold on to or build around going forward?
I mean, insist upon is a strong word. I don't necessarily love it, but like if I have to, like if you were saying like you have to hold on to a few players, I like Hunter Henry. I think he really grinds for you. He's good. He knows how to sit in open space. He's reliable as just a guy for Drake May to throw the football to. I like Pop Douglas. He's been pretty good for you, I guess, overall compared to the rest of what you have, which has just been a dumpster fire. And then I don't know, man. The list kind of stops there. I look at the rest of the team, and I'm like, the defensive guys are all soft, and they can't stop the run to save their lives. Like, you could put me and Andy out there, and we're going to stop the run as good as these guys are. Like, it's bad.
All right, so it's time for the grade, I'm sure. Well, obviously, you'd want to give him an A-plus for the play of the century, or at least the play of the decade for the New England Patriots, but there were some mistakes made along the way. It was a learning curve day for Drake May, obviously punctuated by the spectacular touchdown play at the end of regulation. So, Shime, all things factored into and considered, what would you give May for a grade on the day?
Yeah, I'm going to give him I'm not going to give him quite an A-. I'm going to give him an 89, a B+. It's just bordering on a 90. It's hard not to. I understand that there's turnovers. The turnovers aren't great, but like at the same time, he accounted for all but 15 yards of your total offense. That is insanity. You should never be asking a rookie quarterback under any circumstance to do that much for your offense. And for that alone, like, he has to be graded higher. 95 rushing yards is insane for a guy who is not Lamar Jackson. Like, that's silly. It's silly, and yet he still did it. He did everything he could to keep you in that game at the end there, as much as he may have had a couple turnovers. Like, I just, 89 B-plus is where I'm at.
I think I might even go one or two higher. I might give him like the full A-. Now that you frame it in the context of he was responsible for all but 15 yards of the Patriots offense on the day. Yeah, and with that offensive line and the weapons around him, yeah, I'll forgive him some of the mistakes he made on the day. The kid is something else, Shime. Yeah, all, you know, I think the season is a win in that we know we have a future under center. Now all they have to do is get a football team around him and we'll be good as gold, right?
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's just about going and acquiring talent, whether it's in the draft or in free agency or via trade. You have to start doing that. And hey, trade deadline's just not too far away. You can go get some talent now while he's still, you know, healthy in the season and see if you can make something work. I'm not saying go break the bank, but go add something that maybe you can use in the future. Who knows?
Yeah, let's see if they actually do that. It would be nice, depending on whose report you read, but we'll see. All right, Shime, thanks very much. As always, you can give him a follow at Shime Time on the Twitter platform. He is part of the Greg Hill Morning Show and is on WEI on the weekends, Thursday nights. We got a 6 to 7:30 radio show. I'm looking forward to that and everything on Patriots Monday, tomorrow, Shime Time. Thanks, as always, for the report card and the time, my guy.
Appreciate you, boys. Have a good one.
See ya.
Chris Chime coming with the Drake May report card. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. All right, when we come back, we've got questions to ask about today's game, today's game plan. We'll do a little should they have handled it the way they did, and then some. We'll also do the Protect 5. We've got Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down, the Cars for Kid player of the game, and your calls. So much to do, so little time. Here on the Six Rings Postgame Show, live on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM, WEEI.